Well, it's good to be with you tonight. The building looks great. Hang on with that. Don't show them yet. It's too early. Don't be a cheater. We're going to get all this figured out. There we go. That's green. That's good. All right. So I got this letter from the South Main Church of Christ. And it says, "Dear brother, greetings. Thank you for agreeing to be part of our Wednesday evening summer series, Make Me a Servant, Matthew chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. Please bring your favorite sermon to share with us. We look forward to seeing you at South Main Church of Christ in Henderson, Texas. And our services begin at 6:30, blah, blah, blah. Address, telephone number, and so forth and so on. And let me again say thanks for your participation. May God be praised and glorified in all we do. Yours in Christ, Dad Payne. I mean, Bob Payne. Anyhow, so I got that, and I immediately started wondering what in the world would I share with you. My history, as far as priesting is concerned, is, you got to remember now, I grew up in a preacher's family. I can still remember as a teenager when we lived in West Covina. And I one day was up at Dad's office, and he was there behind his desk. And Dad had at that time one of those desks that had the two drawers that was actually one. You know what I'm talking about? And as you've seen, Dad carries around with him and does most of his lessons on these cards like this, okay, and has done them as long as I've known him. But anyhow, he's upgraded. but anyhow, we were in the office and he said as I looked at that drawer that was full, this two drawer desk drawer is full of these 3x5 note cards with sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon on. And he looked at me and he said, "John, someday all of these will be yours." And I thought, man, that's really cool. I mean, that's something to look forward to, right? But then I got to thinking about that when I went off to college and was going through all of my classes to get into the ministry and everything. And I thought to myself, if I copy that pattern of writing my sermons and keep them, you know what will happen is that I will succumb to the temptation of rewarming old sermons. So my wife will attest to the fact that every Sunday I preach, every Sunday that I prepare a sermon, whether it be Sunday morning or Sunday night, I put that sermon together during the course of that week sometime, and I preach it, and then it goes in the trash. And I did that to force myself not to have backups. But then I get this letter from Dad saying, "We want you to come and preach, and our lessons are going to be centered around the servant, and we want you to bring your favorite sermon." Oh, now what do I do? Right? Because I've been throwing them away. I don't keep any of them. And God is amazing in the way He works. Back way in the early part of March, I put together this sermon and I preached it for our home congregation there in Sanger. And I was really excited. It took me weeks to put it together, and I think you'll understand why here in a few minutes. But it took me weeks to put it together, and I preached it, got done with it, and everybody got a lot out of it, I thought. And I didn't think anything more about it. Just went on with my life and was doing my thing. And then something really crazy happened. we have a family who, by the grace of God, I've got a chance to meet and study with and baptize. Husband and wife with some beautiful girls. And those girls started coming to church with mom and dad. And I could really tell that this was a special family from the beginning. Anyhow, to make a long story short, this family is a family that reaches out on so many different levels. You want to know the epitome of a servant, you take a look at this family. They have cared for children in their home that weren't theirs. They have been benevolent to people who are in need of shelter, house, and so forth and so on, and have taken care of them. And then one amazing incident took place in which they had a single mom with three children whose husband had left, divorced, and left her with the kids. And their 13-year-old, her 13-year-old daughter, developed a mass in her belly that made her look like she was about 8 months pregnant. They did surgery on her, and they took the mass away, and everything was looking really good. And David and Jennifer and their daughters were a special part of this family. Now, here's the amazing thing, and that is that they have a daughter by the name of Desiree, and Desiree and Cheyenne are best friends. Desiree is the girl that lives with mom and dad in Valley View, Texas, and her friend Cheyenne is the one that ended up with the cancer. The doctors removed the mass and everything was wonderful and fine. And within 6 months, it grew back to the same size, if not larger, than the original mass. The family, the mom and the three kids, moved up to Chicago, Illinois, to seek treatment and to be close to family. 2 weeks ago, they came to my office, David and Jennifer, and they talked to me, and in turn, we went and we sat down and talked to the elders. And Friday morning, this last week, myself, one of our deacons, David, and Desiree, 14-year-old girl, all boarded a plane for Chicago, Illinois. And we went there to minister to this family. Cheyenne is 15 years old and she's on hospice. She's dying of cancer. And the whole crux of the trip to Chicago, Illinois, was to have an opportunity to share with this young lady the gospel of Jesus Christ. God works in amazing ways. And it turned out that it wasn't Cheyenne that I guess we were there really truly to see. It was actually for mom. Really didn't have or doesn't have anything to hold on to. And now she knows that there is a God. And our hope and our prayer is that as she continues to move forward, that she'll give her life to Him. I say all that, and I tell you that story because, see, here's the point, and that is that it was a whirlwind trip, and Desiree was there, and she wanted to be able to be there for her good friend Cheyenne, and she was all excited and wanted to share with her the gospel. On our way back, we got stuck in the airport. We didn't get home till 3 o'clock in the morning on Monday, but we were sitting at that airport, and David and Desiree and I myself were sitting there, and Desiree says to me, she says, you know what? She says, you know what really caused me to decide that it was time to be all in and to be buried with Christ in baptism? I said, what was it? She said, it was that sermon that you preached. What sermon? She says, you remember the sermon that you preached. So she described it to me. I'm like, okay, that's awesome. I'm glad that you were impressed with that sermon. Well, I got home and my wife says to me, she says, you know what, John? She says, I think that the sermon that you need to take with you and you need to preach to the folks over there in Henderson is guess what? It's the same exact sermon. I'm like, okay, I get it, Lord. Have you ever had a trouble or have you ever had difficulty explaining Jesus Christ? I mean, that's our biggest challenge, isn't it? What do you say to somebody? How do you develop the story in such a way that not only does it get their attention, but it helps them to understand and to know how all this stuff works? What do you do to be able to communicate the life-saving transformation that God has made possible through Jesus? I would say that probably the vast majority of Christians that I come in contact with, you know what their answer is? I'll take them to church and I'll introduce them to the preacher. And he'll tell them, because I'm no good at it, right? I want to give you an opportunity this evening to have a way, and it's not the only way, but hopefully it is a way that will make sense to you and that you could carry with you in some way, shape, or form. Now, if it doesn't work for you on a visual level, at least maybe it will work for you on a scriptural level. We're going to do something totally different than probably what you've ever seen in any kind of sermon before. And I hope that you'll stay with me to the end. And I pray that you brought your Bibles. If you didn't, we've got the scriptures on the board and we're going to be going through them. So try to keep focused on what's going on up here and what's going on up there or what's going on in your Bibles. Take some notes. And I want to explain to you how all this works in such a way that you can go out and touch a life. Now, if you need your life touched tonight, I can't make it any plainer than what I'm fixing to try to do for you. This is the way that it works. This is all you need to know. And I hope that it has an impact on you like it did for Desiree. And if not for you, then maybe somebody else that you'll come in contact with. So as we begin, we're going to start off with a passage of scripture in the book of Romans. There it is, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Get your Bibles out. Here we go. Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all did what? Say it loud like you mean it. They all sinned. Okay, so we're going to start off and we are going to give us an illustration of exactly what Scripture is talking about. Guess what this is? Anybody tell me? It's sin. This is sin. And sin entered the world through one man. And it infected all men because all men did what? They sinned. So we're going to start off, we're going to say, guess what? Everybody has the same stinking problem. It's called sin. For him to know to do good and do it not, what is it? It's sin. Anytime we don't do what God tells us to do, or anytime we do what God tells us not to do, what is that? Sin. Have you done that? Then guess what? You have a sin problem. How do we illustrate that? How do we make sense of that? Here's the sin. And guess what? This is you. Are you with me? Okay, so we have a sin problem. And guess what? That sin, it gets inside of you, just like that, right? All have done what? They've all sinned. So now we got this sin inside of us, and it's chasing us, it's infecting us, it's causing us to be something and to do something that God never wanted for us. And that's the condition of mankind. All of us have done this. Ephesians chapter 2. It's not working. Flip to the next one. Hello. There we go. Ephesians chapter 4. There's nothing like losing your momentum. Stay with me back there with the clicker because mine ain't functioning right. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Wait a minute. We just got done talking about sin being inside of us. And now Paul is writing and he says, it doesn't just stay inside of us. What happens to it? It does something diabolical. It's not only inside of us. But you know what that sin does? It gets all over us. Sin. It's got a stranglehold not only on the inward parts, but the outside parts. It is all over us on the inside and on the outside. Sin, he says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you used to live when you follow the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work and those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature object of wrath. Look, folks, this is the condition that everybody finds himself in. It's sin on the inside. It's sin on the outside. It's got a stranglehold on mankind. And that's why it's so important for us to do what it is that we're doing, because this is where man is at. This is where we find ourselves. All over us and in us. But then something amazing takes place. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Let me give you another one that just makes this so awesome. Are you ready? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. You know what it says there? His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So guess what? God comes along and He says, I'm bringing Christ to the table. And when Christ comes to the table, you know what He does to a life? He says, get off of him, sin. Get out of him, sin. You are no longer going to have control of him because I, Jesus Christ, am going to take care of him and protect him and to keep him from any of this ever being a part of his life again. That's what God did when He brought Christ into the picture. He freed us from that sin. There's a passage of Scripture over in the book of Ezekiel. powerful stuff right here, folks. Because see, it wasn't just what he got off of us and what he took out of us. But way back in the Old Testament, God is promising to do something to us that is amazing in its purpose and content. I will give you a new heart, he says. I will give you or put in you, guess what? See, it didn't do enough for Christ just to take the sin off of us and out of us. He needed to replace it with something that was going to fill that need that we had, that desire that we had. And so he says, I am going to put a new spirit inside of you. But he also says something about giving us a new heart. Now let me ask you this question. If Christ is who we are going to be a part of, and who is going to be the one that encompasses us, whose heart do you think it is that we get? So it wasn't just spirit, but it was a heart. It was the heart. It was Christ's heart. How do we know that? Well, you know, we got all this put together and now we've got this inside of us and this is who we are. But guess what? We are in Christ Jesus, and therefore we have not only Him, but we have His Spirit inside of us. And the Apostle Paul writes to us over in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21, and he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ. What does he do? He lives in me. Isn't it interesting? Sin was inside of us and sin had us wrapped up. Jesus comes and releases us from sin, and then He goes inside of us and He wraps us up. But it doesn't end there. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. We are in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages He might show His incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. The only way it works is to get in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works for God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Paul puts it this way. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with the seal. See that Spirit inside of us? The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, now therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's enough, isn't it? Doesn't that complete the package? All of you that just shook your head, yes, need to be corrected. Because no, that's not it. If that was good, it only gets better. Take a look, if you will, over at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. Paul writes again and he says, "For you died." And guess what? Your life is now hidden with Christ. Finish it. The complete package is right here. That's the complete package. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and following, "Now in all these things we are more than conquerors with Him," or "through Him who loved us, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither things present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Nothing. He can't take it away. That's a message that we need to share. Oh, I made the babies cry. I'm sorry. But that's the message that we need to share. That's what makes this so awesome and so important to the world. Let's all break it down if we can for just a second. Are you ready? John chapter 14. And verse 20, Jesus says, "On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and," He says, "you are in me." And He says, "I am in you." And then He goes on to say in verses 16 and 17, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you a counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives," guess where? "In you." Christ in you. Bundled up and sealed inside of you in such a way that nobody can take it away from you because you are in Christ. And once you're in Christ, you are sealed and you are set and you have everything that you need because Christ is, guess what? In His Father. And that's the picture. Sin's gone. Life is now different. Desiree said that illustration caused her to decide it was time to do something with her life. You don't have to carry around a bunch of boxes to make the point. But if they make the point, then carry around the boxes. I don't care what you need to do. You got the story. Now, I've got to give some credit because I originally found this some time ago by a guy by the name of Ben Jones who had it. And I did some modifications because he didn't have the whole story. And we need to get the whole story out there. But this is the story. Christ in God. Us in Christ. Christ in us. His Spirit in us. Sin gone. Sin out. Sin off of. Sin taken care of. That's the message I wanted to give you tonight. That's what I want to leave you with. If this changes your life or touches you in some way that you feel like you want to talk to somebody, please come up and visit with me. Check with Dad, one of the other people that are here. And I pray that you'll take this message and you'll share it with a lost and dying world that needs to know that there's an alternative to what's inside them and what's got them entrapped. Jesus is the answer. Thanks for being here. I'm done. You're up.